Let's turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in the book of Psalms and Psalm 13. Psalm 13, we will read the first verse and the last two verses. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. David, in this psalm, cries to the Lord in his distress. We are not told what the historical occasion is for this psalm, but it is clearly a psalm that is intended for the use of the church and for the comfort of everyone who is in a similar condition. And that is a condition of suffering, suffering from the enemy, and feeling the need for God's help, but that help seems far away. And yet, he is still crying to the Lord, and even confident in his mercy, and assured that the Lord will help him, and the Lord will give him cause to sing his praise. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And we will notice with the Lord's help, first of all, David's condition in his need, David's condition, and secondly, David's cry for help. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Verse 3. David's cry for help. And finally, in the third place, David's confidence. Confidence that the Lord will help him and that his heart shall rejoice in God's salvation and that he will sing to the Lord because of his bountiful grace. So first of all, David's condition. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, God does not forget his people. He knows them. He cares for them continually. But in the experience of God's people, it's as if he forgets them when he withholds from them the help that they need. When he withholds that help, the supply of his strength, then they feel that God is forgetting them. And David feels that God does not take notice of him. And the time actually seems long in which David is going through this experience. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And it may seem that he will always forsake him, even forever. But David knows that cannot be. And in fact, there is implied in the question, how long, that it cannot be forever. How long, knowing that it is not forever, but it seems like it. And it seems even that he is passing through a death kind of experience. When he says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's verse 3. And so he feels that God is hiding his face from him. As we considered on Sabbath evening, Isaiah 57 and verse 17, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him, I hid me, and was wroth. And David feels that God is hiding his face from him. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And so when God withdraws comfort from the soul, it is then that their graces decline and they feel that God is far away when they don't consciously enjoy his help. And these are the sad effects of God hiding his face from his people. But this is not something that God's people can tolerate. They feel the great need that God would return. And so in this condition, David is saying, verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? having sorrow in my heart daily. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? He's taking counsel in this sad condition. He has many thoughts as if he is holding a counsel with himself, and he compares one thought and another, and one alternative is placed against another, and he deliberates and he judges different options. But the more that he contemplates his personal situation, the further off he feels the solution is, and he thinks, he feels at least, that the remedy is out of sight. How long shall this go on? Having sorrow in my heart daily, the result of this counsel in his soul is that he is full of sorrow, and it's daily. And sometimes this condition in a child of God can go on for a long time. It may be for a few hours, it may be for a few days. With some of the Lord's poor people, it may even go on for years. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Well, David had numerous enemies, but there does seem to be one that stands out from all the others. And no, that's not Goliath, because he was brought down quickly. But it was Saul. David was being pursued by Saul as if David was a partridge, and he even compares himself to a flea when speaking to Saul. Saul exalted himself over David. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? It seemed Saul was successful for a while and beyond the reach of any opposition. David couldn't seem to stop Saul. And so David was in this perilous condition. And the Lord's people often feel themselves to be in a perilous condition because of the enemy that is in their own souls, the power of sin, the old man rising up against them, and feeling that the child of God feels that sin will get the better of him. The believer resolves to keep God's commandments, but then sin rises up, takes over, and seems sometimes to get the mastery over him. The other great enemy is Satan, and that is an enemy that tempts and distracts, sometimes incessantly, constantly, putting evil thoughts in the mind, sometimes putting confusing thoughts into our mind and making us perplexed in order to keep us from peace. He tries to keep us from the path of duty so that we do not follow the Lord or that we don't follow him joyfully. He tempts us to think that our sins are not forgiven. But every true believer is justified from all things, as Paul says, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. But David here is feeling that the enemy is exalted over him. And so the believer sometimes is in this distressing situation when it seems that Satan and sin, or even the world and its ridicule and its pressure is overwhelming. How great then is our need of a Savior? How great is our need of Christ the Mediator? And Christ is offering his services to each of us. He is calling us to come to him for that help that we need. He's calling all of us in every situation to come to him for ultimate satisfaction, and that we would come to him for life and salvation. We're being called upon in the gospel to come to the true source of life and happiness and salvation. In Christ there is forgiveness. In Christ there is safety. Come to him. That call is heard. That call has been heard. Are you hearing the call and obeying the call? Come to Christ. Come to him for all that you need. And that was David's cry to the Lord, a cry for help. He went to the source of strength. He went to the source of protection. He went to the Lord his God. And so we see in verse 3, and this is in the second place, David's cry for help. David says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." He's looking to God as his God. O Lord my God. People today take or use that expression and take God's name in vain. But David was looking to the Lord his God. O Lord my God. God who has made a covenant with his people. My God, David says. God has promised to be the God of his people. He has taken this people into a covenant relationship with himself so that they may call him their God. He is our God, and they are his people. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God." And so God promises to be to his people all that a God is to his people, the source of provision and protection and comfort and security, to give them grace to help in their time of need. So he says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." He asks the Lord to look into his case, to regard it, consider the matter of David's condition, and he desires God to answer him, to hear his prayer. "Consider and hear me. Remember me. It seems God is forgetting me. Consider my situation. Look upon it carefully." God already does. But here is David's desire. And he wants to know and feel that God is looking on and God is caring for him to the extent that he actually comes to his aid and delivers him. "Lighten mine eyes," he says, "lest I sleep the sleep of death." He is so downcast. It feels that his life is being drained from him, almost to the point of the sleep of death. So he prays that God would comfort him. Matthew Henry says that in regard to God withdrawing comfort from the soul and God hiding his face from his people, nothing is more killing to a soul than the want or the lack of God's favor. Nothing is more killing and deadly, as it were, to the soul than the lack of God's favor, when we feel that God is not favorable and gracious to us, an intolerable experience for the Lord's people. And then he says, nothing is more reviving than the return of God's favor. Well, not every one of the Lord's people go through such spiritual darkness and depression. To this extent, some will experience it more than others, perhaps. And this experience may be shorter or longer when experienced, but when any believer has experienced this distance from God, this depths of spiritual depression and distress, then he or she may sympathize with others. Having gone to the depths of spiritual experience in this spiritual depression, the believer will rejoice all the more when God raises him or her up from it to the spiritual heights of comfort that the Lord is able and willing to give. Well, David is looking to the Lord. He says, verse 4, "Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." David knows that God is glorified when the enemy is conquered. And David is in the very condition that God takes notice of, because God has regard for the poor and needy, those who are suffering, those who are afflicted. That is God's people. Those of God's people who are suffering and afflicted, God has a special eye to them. He knows their situation. He knows that they are liable to becoming the victim of the cruel enemy, Satan. Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat, but the Lord says, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." God knows all the trying circumstances that his people are in. He knows the thoughts, the emotions, the perplexity that passes through their minds and they ask themselves, what am I going through? Why am I going through this? And how little we realize sometimes that it is Satan himself oppressing, harassing, tempting God's people. About the Lord will come for their aid, and we need to be like David, trusting in the Lord. He says, lest mine enemies say, and God will not let the enemy say this, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David is experiencing trouble from the enemy, but God will come and rescue David. And David knows that. So he says in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So in the third place, we come to notice David's confidence in the Lord. David has one place to go, and that is to the Lord his God, and specifically the mercy of the Lord. But I have trusted in thy mercy. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. The enemy seems the enemy is exalting himself over David. David feels like he's going to sleep the sleep of death. He prays that God would intervene because he is so full of trouble. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Though he is going through all of this, though he is descending into the depths of distress, yet he has trusted in the mercy of the Lord. Some people, when they go through the depths of distress, they give up. They stop praying. They stop crying. Not David. It stirs him up to prayer all the more. But I have trusted in thy mercy. The mercy of the Lord and trusting in the mercy of the Lord. The word trust is that word we have referred to before, which expresses the sense of well-being. Well-being and security that we feel, which results from having someone to trust in, someone to place confidence in. So when confidence is placed in that someone, then the result is a feeling of well-being, security. Well, David is finding security in the Lord. He's trusting, he is confident in the Lord, and the result is he knows that ultimately he is safe, finding security in the Lord. He says, I am safe in the Lord. I experience protection and relief in the Lord, my God, my refuge, my fortress. As Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He is confident and secure and assured of it in thee. He's assured of rest because that rest comes from God, because he's trusting in the Lord who gives that rest. He's not trusting in a shadow. He's not trusting in a lie. He's not trusting in imagination. He's trusting in the Lord, his God, and therefore he is safe. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. The word mercy is that familiar word, loving kindness. It's translated mercy, it's translated goodness, it's translated kindness, it's translated love, it's translated loving kindness. I have trusted in thy love, David says. I have trusted in thy goodness, he says. I have trusted in thy kindness. And he knows that goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life. Well, we should be trusting in the love and grace of God, and particularly the mercy of the Lord. God reveals his mercy in Christ. Now, that mercy is offered to us in the gospel. And so when believers are assaulted by Satan, and Satan brings their guilt, their sins to their mind again, where are they to go but to the mercy of God in Christ? We must go to the blood of Christ anew. We're to be thinking again and again on God's mercy that comes to expression in the death of Christ. Remember the sacrament in which Christ holds out to us the symbol of his broken body and the symbol of his shed blood. He says in the Gospel according to Luke, "This is my body which is given for you." Think of that. He gave his body to be tortured on the cross for the salvation of sinners. And we're to be trusting in the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of God in Christ. And we're to remember the wine and the cup which represents his shed blood. He says, "This is my blood which is shed for you." So who was his blood shed for? For you, for believers, everyone who will believe in the blood. And why was the blood shed? To cleanse sinners. Yes, that's why his blood was shed, for the remission of sins. So the blood of Christ reveals the mercy of God. And David says, "I have trusted in thy mercy." The believer is saying, "I have trusted in the body and blood of Christ, broken and shed for the remission of sins." And if we are saying that, we are trusting in the mercy of God, and it is the mercy of God that will save us. Are we looking to the blood of Christ? Go to the blood. David says, "I have trusted in thy mercy." He says, "I have, and I will. I am now." Now, this is something that he has exercised previously, and he is resolved to continue to trust in the mercy of the Lord, to resort to God's loving kindness, to look again to the mercy of the Lord. And so he says, "My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." The words have also been translated, "Let my heart rejoice in thy salvation." And so he's trusting in the Lord. He knows he is safe in the Lord, but he may not feel this. He may not feel it to the extent that he can rejoice in the Lord. So he prays, he acknowledges, "I am trusting in the Lord. So, Lord, let my heart rejoice in thy salvation." But also he is confident that he will experience that joy and he will sing unto the Lord. He is resolved, "I will sing unto the Lord." Verse 6. And so we might put it this way, that in verse 5 he states a fact, "I have trusted in thy mercy." And then he expresses his desire, "Let my heart rejoice in thy salvation." Then he reveals his purpose, a fact, his desire, and his purpose. Now his purpose is, "I will sing unto the Lord." He desires to rejoice, but he is also resolved, determined to sing praise to the Lord. Well, that should be our desire and our purpose, to praise the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And finally, he gives us a reason why he will sing to the Lord. "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." There's always a reason for believers to give thanks to the Lord. They can always put forth a because. They can always give a reason why they should be thankful. You can give a reason too to be thankful. You're still in the land of the living. There's still mercy offered to you. You have a reason to be thankful right now. You're hearing the word of God. The salvation of the Lord is offered to you freely. We all have a reason to be thankful. And God's people, believers, they offer a because. David says in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear." And if you're a believer and your sins are forgiven, God has heard your cry. He has pardoned you. You have a reason to rejoice. Though you may not always feel it, you may be not conscious of it as you like, but you can say because as well. "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." And David knew that God had already done for David exceeding abundantly above all that he could ask or think. Think of it, a saved soul. God has already done a supernatural work, and he has done something for that sinner in giving him faith to believe in Christ and forgiving his sins. That will have eternal implications that will be experienced throughout the endless ages of eternity. The bliss, the blessedness, the joy, the happiness of being in Christ and in the presence of God to all eternity, perfectly blessed forever. What bounty, what abundance of goodness has been bestowed upon every single believer, if our eyes were but open a little to see it. Oh, we can say, and we should say, we should resolve to say like David, I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And he will also deal bountifully with David. He's confident of that in delivering him from his strong foe. He knows that God will interpose help for him and deliver him from the enemy. And so will the Lord for his people. When they go to the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and trust in the mercy of God in Christ, for he it is who makes continual intercession for them, so that they may boldly say, if they are like David, I have trusted in the mercy of the Lord, they may say, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Through the intercession of Christ, believers continue to receive the benefits that Christ purchased for them: forgiveness, sanctification, perseverance, and assurance and comfort, and the joy of God's salvation. And they may be praying, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Well, that was David's prayer right here. Let my heart rejoice in thy salvation. He wants to experience again the countenance, the favorable shining of God's face upon him. And he is confident that God will do that for him. So, like Peter, who was restored to the presence of Christ and said, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord Jesus brought him nearer to him and said, feed my sheep. And both David and Peter are in heaven today rejoicing in the presence of Christ and singing his praises forever and ever. So if we trust in the mercy of the Lord, if we are like David, all of us saying, I have trusted in thy mercy, then our hearts will rejoice in his salvation, and we will praise him forever. Let us go to him in prayer and look to him, as Jude says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Lord is calling to us today, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look to the mercy of God in Christ. Lay hold of it, apprehend it, the mercy of God in Christ. Trust in the precious blood of the Lamb, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all sin. May he bless his word. Let us pray.